Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's so many times in our lives that we have a tendency of going through so many different other things that it puts us in a place of being in despair, not really understanding certain things because this thing have just been repetitively going on in our lives. And we try to change it, and we try to move it, and we think that we are going in the right direction because we try to change our thoughts and we try to change our actions. So we really think that we are going in the right direction, and then something happens and it triggers us. And then it seems like we're going right back where we started from. But what we don't understand, these last two songs that played, they just ministered to me. Because there is a king down in the inside of you, which is the Holy Spirit. That's the king that's down in the inside of you. And because we do not recognize what that king is and how much power he has in that situation or in that circumstance or whatever, we don't get that it's gonna work out for our own good. Because while we're going through it or while we in it, it shakes us. Come on, y'all, yellow sheets of paper and red pens, and I want y'all to start writing down all this stuff. I want y'all to write down all this stuff as I get ready to go into prayer. Jesus, I just want to play this other song just one more time. Which is his spirit. I'm not sure why we allow ourselves to get in between and in between that we can't get past, we can't get over, we can't get through, or we can't just let it go. It causes us not to go in the right direction, y'all. Oh God, I'm asking you to touch each and every last one of us on today, Lord. Open up our understanding right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, as your word get ready to go forward, that is quick and powerful. Oh God, I'm asking you to touch us on today, God, and open up our hearts, open up our understanding, open up our minds on today, God, that we may be able to accept your word in the understanding of the revelation that you expound on today, Father God, that we will not be stuck. Or even looking at others, God, or even pointing a finger or wagging a head, Lord, because we want to go down the right direction. We want to enter into the right gate. We want to go up the right road. We want to do it your way, Lord. I want to do it your way, God. Help us on today, Father God, to embrace the king that's inside of us, that is your spirit. Oh God, because we got to represent you not just as royalty, Father God, but as being all sovereign and all powerful, God. You are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. You are great and you are greatly to be praised. And there is nobody else that can compare to you, Lord. There is nobody else, God, that is equal to you, God. There is nobody else that can stand before you. And you, Jesus, and you alone, God, holds all power in your hand. Touch each and every last one of us in this sanctuary on tonight, God. The ones that's even on the way, Lord. God, the ones that need to come, God, and they pondering in their heart on whether they should. Touch them, God, that they may enter into your presence, God. That they may enter into your sanctuary, that they will be freed from themselves. Help us on today, God. That your will, your purpose, your plan, and your declaration be performed in our lives, that we may be able to embrace your will and never less. Oh God, I'm asking you to do that for your people on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Did you know that he was a king inside of you forever? That's that spirit. That's eternal. That's that spirit that can keep you, that can help you, that can hold you, that can guide you, that will direct you if you let him. If you let him. If we allow that spirit to speak to us, we wouldn't know no defeat, y'all. Did y'all know that? If we allow God's spirit to speak to our hearts in the inside, we wouldn't know no defeat. We wouldn't know no depression, no grief, no sadness, no evil, no wickedness. Because let me tell you something, when these things try to come upon you, if we allow that king inside of us to speak to us, baby, it's going to wipe all that out. It's going to boot it on out. It's going to push it all away. All that hurt and that pain, all that stuff from that past, all that stuff we keep holding on to, all that stuff we keep on embracing that is contrary to the word of God. For real. I'm talking about them challenges on that job. You know, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Not just quoting it, but allowing that king inside of you to speak to you that you may believe it and it come into an actuality. Because it don't matter what they say or what. Now, when he say no weapon formed against me shall prosper, he did not say that it wasn't going to form for a while. He did not tell you how long it was going to be in formation. He just said that it was not going to defeat you. That's what he said. That's what he said. Yellow sheets of paper and red pens, because the Lord has been dealing with me all week about us. And the name of the sermon today is, are you going in the right direction? Are you going in the right direction? Because we think that we be doing the right thing because we want to be obedient. And so out of obedience, I'm going to do that thing. But if you ain't got the right mind and the right attitude and doing that thing, guess what, y'all? You ain't going in the right direction. Huh. Did you hear what I'm saying? I'm just going to do it, you know, because I don't want God to be mad at me and I don't do that. That motive that you got or that hidden intention that you got, if you are not doing it the way God say do it and doing it from your heart, guess what? You ain't going down the right direction. That's the name of the sermon. Are you going in the right direction? Are you going in the right direction? When he was ministering to me about that, that just that, are you going in the right direction? He asked me that question. He said, are you going in the right direction? I ain't even answer. And then he asked me again. He said, are you going in the right direction? I said, Lord, I'm striving to. I was afraid to answer that question because I didn't want to feel as if I knew my ways was right. I did not want to get into that place of being foolish in my thinking because I'm nice to you and it don't matter that or I'm helping or I'm saying, mm-mm. See, this morning when we was on our way here, the Lord had me to speak out something in prayer, and I realized where he had me to speak out in prayer when I was in the office. He had me to speak out, Lord, help us, God. Help us that we will be more mindful. We'll be more mindful of ourselves. So, how can I be more mindful in myself? Now, we could be mindful in ourselves, listen, and checking ourselves when we fit to speak wicked or evil or yelling and screaming and arguing with folk. We could be mindful and stop ourselves. We could be mindful and not do it. And that would make us think or believe that we're going in the right direction. Well, Lord, I'm trying. I'm trying to do it right enough. Oh, but what about them thoughts? Them thoughts that is evil and wicked will alter your silence. How can it alter the silence? Because your reactions and your gestures and your actions and your looks and what you do, and you ain't even got to say a word. So I'm going to ask us again, are we going in the right direction? How about conjuring up some things when we hurt or we feeling some type of way? Can we ask ourselves then, are we going in the right direction? Are we really going in the right direction? Lord, I ain't gonna say nothing and I ain't gonna do nothing. And I'm gonna give it all to you, Lord. And then when we write it down and we put it on the altar, and then we walk back up out that door, and then something may happen or a phone call or even a name is being said. It triggers something. So what use is that prayer on that altar? Are we going in the right direction? See, when the Lord told Abraham to come out from amongst his kinfolk and leave and go here and do that and do that. See, what baffled me when the Lord asked me that question, he sent me to Abraham, the story of Abraham. And so you would think that Abraham was going in the right direction when he got up and left him, right? But the mystery was Abraham did not even know what direction he was going in. All he knew is that he was being obedient and leaving. The Lord did not tell him to go over to Jerusalem or go over there to the... In the midst of Abraham believing that he going in the right direction, he did not want to leave stuff. I'm talking about this whole story, y'all. Why? Because the Bible says when he left, the Lord said, get up, leave your kinfolk and come out from amongst them and go, and I'm going to show you the direction to go in. Then the Bible broke out and said he took his cousin and said, what happened because he did that? See, a man may think they doing right. In the midst of him taking his cousin, when the Lord already done told him to come out from amongst your kin, there was an altercation. There was some confusion that took place where they had to be separated anyway. So, I'm going to ask again, because he keep asking, are we going in the right direction? Are we going through the right gate? Are we going through the right gate? Let's see. Let's see. Are you headed in the right direction? See, when we hear the word direction, we think that it's a destination that we got to get to, right? Because it's saying, what direction is you going in? Is you going to the right or to the left? Or that we think that, but this is why the Lord always want me to give y'all the definitions to these words, because we think we know and we really don't know. So let me give y'all that definition to the word direction. Guidance, that's the first word, or supervision of action or conduct. Y'all think I made this up? Look in Webster. Direction, an explicit instruction, assistance in pointing out the proper route. See, sometimes we need assistance. Sometimes we need somebody to help us to supervise ourselves. Because we may not be going in the right direction. We may need a little bit of guidance or a little push. A channel or direct course of thought or action is a guiding, governing, or motivating purpose or principle. This is what direction is, y'all. It's a statement of what to do that must be obeyed by those concerned. Direction, the act or activity of looking after and making decisions about something. Are we headed in the right direction? See, we could be traveling up a road, and when you get to that road, it's a fork in it. You can go that way, you can go that way, or you can keep straight. You got to make a decision. Did I just not read that? On what direction that you got to go in. But 90% of times we ain't sure. So because of that unsurety, we stand there and we ponder. Now what way? That nowadays they got technology and you try to use your GPS. I'm finna go back to the story of Abraham. When the Lord told Abraham to come out from amongst them, and he went a certain place, and he took somebody with him that he was trying to disconnect from in the beginning, there became an altercation. Now, in the midst of that altercation becoming, he went one way, and his cousin wound up going another way, which his cousin should have never went the same way he went in the beginning. Okay? So, in the midst of that, listen to this. All kind of havoc happened. Okay, but that's a whole bunch of different sermons and sermons. My point is, a great famine came upon the land, and instead of Abraham standing still and knowing that God was God, the Bible says he turned off course and went to Egypt. When he went to Egypt, it altered his thinking, because he was going in one direction where he would not have to make a decision or a choice that would cost him his obedience in Christ. What are you talking about? Because he went another direction than what God wanted him to go, and went into Egypt. He had to start lying, y'all. Did y'all get it? See, when we go in the opposite direction of God, it alters our thinking, and we have to make a decision that can cause us our very lives. What are you talking about? The Bible says that when he got to the gates, that word gates, of Egypt, the Bible says he told his wife, you know what, you know you're fine. And if we go into this foreign land, they're going to look at me and look at you, and they're going to want you for themselves. And they're going to try to kill me and take you and everything that we got. So we're going to lie and tell them that you my kinfolk, which she was, instead of my wife. He left out that part. See? And the Bible says, in him doing so, what happened then? It altered some things in Egypt too. Because God was not showing him favor, but God favored him. And because God is a difference between being favored and having favor. See, God favored him so until his secret cursed somebody else. I'm reading it. It's in the book. It's in the book. I'm just breaking it down and we can understand. See, What we don't understand and what we don't realize is when these things are altered or things are changed because of the choices that we make, it causes certain other things to take place in our life. And then we have to ask ourselves again, are you headed in the right direction? Because if you're not headed in the right direction and you get off course, it may very well cost you your life and somebody else's. Did y'all get that? So are you headed in the right direction? You could be thinking that you're headed in the right direction and you're not. Because God simply told Abraham, come out from amongst your kinfolk and go ahead. But he was obedient to God, but he still did what he wanted to do because he chose to take his cousin with him. God said, come out from amongst them. But I want to take some. Y'all better stop trying to take everybody with y'all. Everybody can't go everywhere you go. You may cause your direction to be altered and cause somebody else their lives just because of the decision that you made. See, we think we know what direction means, don't we? Are you headed in the right? We don't. I'm gonna read the definition again because we really don't know. We really don't. This is why he had me to give y'all these definitions so that we can apply these things appropriately like we supposed to do this book. But we take this book and we apply it to our lives to justify our choices. Jesus. And we think that it's the right way. Because if I do it this way and I do it that way, you know, the Lord told me not to go to bed with the sun, not to let the sun go down on my wrath. So I'm supposed to be angry with you. And so I'm really not angry with you anymore. I just can't stand you. That's you think you're doing right? You ain't headed the right way, baby. You know what? The Lord said it all to forgive. You know, because of that. And how many times am I supposed to, God, supposed to forgive? Seven times. So I got to keep forgiving you even though you keep on doing the exact same thing over and over again. I got to keep on forgiving you. But then I got to treat you a certain kind of way. I got to treat you with a long-handled spoon. But the Bible clearly says, now mind you, I done forgave you, but I'm going to have my distance from you because I know that's... Are you headed in the right direction? Because the Bible says that we're supposed to deprive ourselves of the assembly of one another. So we can't just do half the book. We got to do the whole book. We just can't pick and choose what we want to apply to our lives and then say, I'm doing the right thing. I'm being obedient to God. I'm going to go ahead and do what he tell me to do. And I, you know, because the obedience is better than the sacrifice. Yeah, but even in the midst of you being obedient and think that you sacrifice a certain kind of thing, what is your attitude in doing it? You still ain't headed down the right direction, baby. Because you got a problem and you got an attitude and you just doing it because of this. So you do. What are these motives? So one thing and one choice can alter. See, the Bible says, and I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, the ways of a man may seemeth right unto him. We're going to start in the book of Matthew. So let's start right there. We're going to go to the book of Matthew chapter 7. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. See, because a lot of times that we think and believe, I just told y'all about that road that you're going up. You think you're going in the right direction. So when we are going up this road, you could go to the right, to the left, or either you could keep straight. It's a fork right there. What choice is you going to make in going? We got this technology going on right now until our GPS is trying to tell us to go here and go there. But let me tell you something about a GPS on a phone. It'll take you in a whole circle. And measure, you be like, you know what? I could have just went this way and I would have been there 5 or 6 minutes ago. Now, mind you, is that not what Abraham did? Abraham altered the direction that he was supposed to go in, and the Bible says he went to Egypt. Now, you think God is going to take you from one pagan nation and put you in another? That ain't the kind of God I serve. I don't know what kind nobody else serves. But that ain't the kind of God I serve. God is not going to take you from bondage and put you in bondage. He's not. That ain't that. Well, why I'm always meeting these kind of folk and they doing it. That's why, let's talk about Yvette, because that's what I used to say. I used to be like the home. I said, why every man that I get, he whooping on me? Why he always got, I used to always sit in the mind you, in the midst of it, I'm fighting back, literally. But I couldn't win because he's a man. Yeah. Oh, but he knew I was there. You understand what I'm saying? But still, I used to always ask myself that. What? And then, you know, the Bible say he'll give you a way of escape. And so he gave me a way of escape. But then I want y'all to understand. God is not going to take you out of bondage and put you in bondage. But because of the direction that I chose to go in, thinking that I'm doing the right thing for who? Me. Then I thought it was the right way to go. By helping folk and by lending them a hand and by doing this and by doing that. And what the Bible say, if somebody do this or do that, you supposed to pray for them. He say you even supposed to bless them and don't curse them. He said, tell me how easy that is. Okay, so I do that. But in the midst of it, what's going on up in here? And up in here, that even though I'm doing that, I walk past you and I'm like, you see what I'm saying? We holding on to all this. I just want to give you a hug so bad.
I just
want to
give you a hug. And I gotta tell you something too.
I'm just trying to hold on to get this word out right quick. Listen to me. That direction. What direction is we headed in? Are we headed in and going through this fence or going through that door that, or going to, because we be so quick, Lord, open up the doors for me, God. Let me, the doors are already open. It may not be your season to walk through it. God ain't gonna take you up to no door and then say, okay, dude, I preached about this. What's that money go about the door? I demonstrated with the door. So, I'm just saying, I ain't finna backtrack with that sermon right there. Y'all go on the website and listen to it. Listen, Matthew chapter 7, we're gonna start at verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. What is straight? A narrow space or passage. It's limited in space or time. It's closely fitting or in a tight manner. It's great suffering of the body or mind or a situation of perplexity or distress. See, we can't think straight to walk straight to go through the straight. We get all messed up. For wide is the gate and broad is the way. Broad is extending far and wide, as in spacious. It's having a greater than usual measure across, having considerable extent. It's relating to the main elements and not to specific details. See, that's what happened to Abraham. I'm just trying to get y'all to get it. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. What is narrow? A less than standard or usual width. It's barely sufficient. It's barely successful. It's to decrease the breadth or extent of as a limitation. Not open to views or opinions. It's having distinct or certain limits. Okay, what do these scriptures mean? Because I done heard them preach so many times, but the Lord broke that thing down to me, y'all. So I'm here to tell y'all. I'm going to start from the top. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Enter ye in at the straight gate. And then in verse 14 it say, because straight is the gate. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way. Everybody want everything easy. Can I just say that right quick? I'm going to say that right quick. We want everything right quick. We so microwavable. That's why we can't keep our face out them phones. We do not go research nothing. We Google anything. You see, we think we know it all. Can't nobody tell us nothing. Don't let us mess around and go to school and get some kind of knowledge and degrees and certificates and all this and all that. Baby, where you say you went to school at? Oh, I got a master's. You got associates? Oh, okay. You see what I'm saying? So, what do you mean when you say, because this gate is so wide that we ain't got to go around it or squeeze through it. It ain't narrow. I ain't got to the narrow gate yet. See, when you're going through this wide gate, you think you got all the opportunities in the world. You think that if I go in this direction, that this is going to happen. If I do this, and how I do this, and when I do this, then I'm going to make it to this destination. Because this direction is the right way. So it's easy. Go in there and get that flower out that canister in there. Where the canister at? And which one, the big one or the little one? Where you say, it's a whole lot of canisters in here. You know which one it is? That's that wide gate. It's the one on the left-hand side on the top shelf with the red top. That's that wide gate. We don't want to go and look for absolutely nothing. I'm just giving y'all some examples of this wide gate that could lead us to destruction. You know what? I know what I saw, and I know what I heard, and it don't matter what nobody else say. I believe what I saw, and I believe what I heard that has altered my actions and my reactions. They can't nobody change my mind. They can't convince me, persuade me. They can't even pay me. Because I know what I heard, and I know what I saw, and I know what I need to do. That's that wide gate, y'all. See, when you're going through that narrow gate, how many times y'all done rolled up a street and you be like, oh, this street's so narrow? So you got to be real careful. We don't want to be here. What you mean by that? The Bible says that we're supposed to have the fruits of the Spirit. We're supposed to be kind, right? We're not being careful to be kind, especially in you that disrespected me. Are you kidding? Well, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do you just like you did me. You know, they always say that do unto others as you have them to do unto you. But Jesus said, not an eye for an eye. You heard that. An eye for an eye and two for two. I say no. I want you to go up that narrow gate. And even if they did it to you, I don't want you to have no grudging spirit. Yes. Don't hold no grudge. And you said that you forgave, but you didn't. And you acting some kind of, just say you faking at it. You just want to fake at it. So we don't want to walk up that narrow gate. We don't want to walk circumspect. We don't want, I ain't finna walk on no eggshells for nobody. Cause I'm grown and I can do what I want to do. You can't tell me what to do. I'm gonna such and such, such. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm trying to help you to go in the right direction. I just read the definition. Sometimes you need a little assistance. You need a little supervision. You need somebody to help you and give you a push to be more mindful of that action or that thought or that reaction or that say premeditation. Is that what you say, girl? Because we premeditate the next move. Whether it's good or bad, we all do it now. I know I ain't the only one to do it. We got everything already planned out, and when it does not go the way that we want it to go, we go down another direction, and we're not doing the one thing that God said do. Acknowledge me in all your ways. If we acknowledge him in all our ways, we will go down the right direction. Why? He said, because I will direct your path. I will. He said the ways of a man makes it. Come on, let's go to it. I ain't kidding. This is for real. I had to give y'all some examples so that you can know. We're going to Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs 14. And we're going to start at verse 12. It says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It can kill you. I just gave y'all that example with Abraham. It can kill you or people that is attached to you. Because even though you may think that you're going up or headed down the right direction, you could very well alter some things by what you see and even by what you hear. And then it will cause you to believe a thing that will cause you to go into a place of death. And what is that? It ain't necessarily got to be graveyard dead. It could be spiritually dead. I could be dead to even hearing. Huh? Because a person trying to tell me and trying to show me and trying to convince me and help me and give me the assistance that I need that I may be able to understand clearly, but I can die to hearing. Because I believe what I want to believe. I know what I heard in the beginning. And yeah, but did you get an understanding of what you heard? We don't want to get that understanding that we may be able to reason with one another. So are you headed in the right direction? Because in the midst of me talking, and in the midst of me communing, and in the midst of me trying to help you to get up, when did you stop listening? Because we could be looking right there at somebody, baby, and we done been tuned them all the way out. We do it with our kids, grandkids, the folk that we mad at, the people who talking to. We ain't trying to hear absolutely nothing. And then when the conversation is brought up again, we be like, you don't remember me saying, no, I ain't hear it because you disregarded it. And I was just trying to give you a little guidance and try to assist you a little bit that you won't be mad, that you will come into an understanding. We don't want to come into an understanding. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So if you trust in the Lord with any and everything to you, if he's sending somebody to you or even allowing you to read something that you may get an understanding to, how hard is it for you to accept? Because if we can't accept it, we'll never understand. The Bible never said, receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says, accept him as your Lord. If you do not accept Jesus, then how can you accept God? And if you can't accept God, you can't accept his truth. And what is his truth? His word. And he is the word. So, is that the root cause, y'all? Acceptance. We got to learn how to accept some things in order to come to an understanding in all things. And until we do that, we won't be able to reason with one another. And we will die. We will die to hearing. We will die to seeing. Well, let me show you this. And baby, you could be looking right at it. And all the time, you got a veil over your eyes. You can't see straight. So therefore, you can't think straight. And all the time, they talking. You can't wait for them to shut up. You see? patting your feet, with walking around in a circle like, you know what, Jonah, or either everybody yelling and screaming. I'm just saying, are we headed in the right direction, y'all? Are we really headed in the right direction? Because there's only one way that we could be headed in the right direction, and that's accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Because if we accept Him, then we gotta accept everything else. And the one thing that will help us to accept it all is love. We don't even know how to do that. We think we do. We think we do, but we don't. I preached that about a month ago too. Okay. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. Listen. And the end of that mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Is this true, y'all? And a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The simple believeth every word. I just said all this. What is simple? Simple is lacking in knowledge or expertise. It's lacking in worldly wisdom or informed judgment. We don't want to hear Jack Dilley or squat, because I get so tired of us saying that. I ain't grown and I will act like it. When I was a child, I act like a child. I did childish things. But when I became an adult, I had to mature. And maturity comes with what? Reasoning, y'all. Reasoning. In adulthood, if we do not reason in every area in our lives, whether it's mediocre or something big, we doomed. And that's just the truth. We have to reason. We have to reason and try to figure out certain other things. And it, me and your conversation on the phone, then you have to reason. You was like, I'm trying to figure out. You went, in your reasoning, you said this right here. I don't want to say this, Pastor. And I don't want to think this. And I don't want to. So I'm just going to pray. And I'm reasoning. When it could have went all to the left. It could have caused all kind of havoc, confusion, division, hatred, bitterness, and it could have been. Are y'all following me? Are we headed in the right direction? Because being headed in the right direction, we got to put our emotions all the way down here, because our emotions is bipolar. Our emotions will put us in a state to do things that we regret later. Our emotions will have us so discombobulated, baby, until we be going two places, jail or hell. I'm serious, because we ain't going down. We ain't going down. Are we headed in the right direction? Are we reasoning? Are we accepting? Are we fulfilling? Yes, I just read it. We fulfilling our own selves. Right. Let me read some of them. For real. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. What do a backslider mean? Do a backslider mean just in ministry? Heck, you know. Let's say Judas. You my friend today and you ain't tomorrow. You backslid on your loyalty to me. You, a backslider could be somebody or something that what we call it, you just done switched up. You done got new on me. You, see, we think that this book only applies to the people in the church. But see, the people in the church have to react with the folk in the world. And so if we reacting with the folk in the world, then who should be doing the reasoning? And in that reasoning, you don't supposed to argue. You don't supposed to be going back and forth and debate. You don't supposed to be doing that because you're headed in the right direction. Why? Because the Bible says you can't even reason with a fool. Because if you try, you're going to become one yourself. It's in the book. I promise you I ain't making it up. The simple believeth every word. There is absolutely nothing a simple person could tell us, Gizzy. No, because they don't want to reason. They lean into their own understanding. They don't want to hear anything. And they do not want to accept it. Why? Because if I listen, and especially if somebody else is around, I feel like you're trying to embarrass me. But I ain't screaming at you. I ain't hollering at you. I'm trying to give you some direction and some guidance and some supervision and some instruction and some assistance so that you may not be in that place of bitterness or anger. Oh, don't nobody want to hear. Oh, don't nobody want to listen. Oh, I just need you to see my viewpoint and such and such and such and such. And then, okay, and so I hear your viewpoint. And after I hear your viewpoint, I'm telling you, no. No. Why do I say that? I'm not saying that for you to argue with me or hate me or think that I don't want to agree with you. Because let me tell you something. The Bible says that even in our disagreement, and I paraphrase it, with one another, why you got, if I don't agree with you, I'm telling you your dress red and you say it's orange. I don't care how much I say that your dress is red and you telling me it's orange, and then you, why you gonna get mad at me because I see red and you see orange? Because you lean into your owner, she just don't understand. She just don't know. But you ain't understanding and you just don't know because you got such a broad mind until you do not understand. I may be colorblind. It ain't that I want to argue with you. Because I did. So you mad at me because I don't see the orange. I see red, baby. I'm colorblind, but because we want to lean to our own understanding, you know what? They just said, I'm just not going to deal with them no more because they always would. But how you know I don't need your assistance and your guidance and your supervision and your. I may need a different type of glasses on my face. You see what I'm saying? So are we headed in the right direction towards one another? So I'm trying to help you to see what God is showing us. Are you trying to help me to see? Because you don't have to stand up on this pulpit and hold a mic. You, baby, if he make a donkey talk, okay. He can use anything. And what is a donkey? Okay. Okay. You, I'm just saying because it's saying. Ain't that what the Bible say? I'm not saying a donkey is an ass. The Bible says so. I ain't cussing, y'all. But am I headed in the right direction? Because I may say it and use it out of context, then I'm cussing. You see what I'm saying? So we got to go up that narrow. Baby, we got to be careful. We got to be careful what we say and what we think and how we perceive things. Because that perception will cause our conception to be deception. That was a sermon I preached, Danny. You remember, didn't you? She remembered it. That perception will alter our conception and cause us to be in a place of deception. And well, yeah. That's what it'll do. And then there's still, and then what we doing, am I going in the right direction? Because I told you that just before. And you gonna tell me it's the one. So you got an attitude with me, and I got an attitude with you. More so, I got that attitude with you because I don't give a rat's tail what you tell me or how you tell me. And then you yelling at me, you disrespecting me, I'm grown. You are gonna listen to me because I'm grown. No, I'm not, because guess what? I ain't giving the devil no room. I'm headed in this direction, but you can go in that way. Sometimes you just gotta walk away from the foolishness, baby. Don't entertain it. Don't give an enemy room that he may be able to come into your house and disrupt your spirit. Because then, y'all like, it's a mess. It's a mess. He said a simple belief, if every word we believe, any and everything that we think we know, and I'm trying to tell you this and I, no, baby, you being simple. But the prudent man looketh well to his going. I just said that you got to be real careful. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil. That's why I just said all this. But the fool rages and is confident. I'm going to say it again. I'm grown. And you can't tell me nothing because I know what I said, I know what I heard, and I know what I believe. But if I tell you, you simple, you're going to say, why you calling me names? Why you talking about me? You think you're going to get away with talking about me? Now they want to fight you. They trying to lay hands on you. And they ain't holding hands, baby. You see what I'm saying? So when you, the Bible says that when you correct a fool, he will hate you. But when you correct a wise man, he become wise. That's the book. And so then you get to thinking this. Here go another example, y'all. Well, the Bible says that if I see my brother or my sister overtaken in a fault, then I'm supposed to go to them and help them, you know, and restore them back into their place. But if I try to correct them, they're going to act a fool. And then they're going to hate me. So why should I do it? And so then we start compromising. So are we going in the right direction? Because we supposed to do what the Bible says. Now mind you, in you going to do what the Bible says you supposed to let them know. And if they receive it, all is well. But if they don't, you did your part. Kick the dust off your feet and keep it moving. Because we can't make nobody go in the right direction. What I always say, I can lead you to the water, baby, but I can't make you bend the knee and drink the water. I can't. One plants another water, and God gives the increase. It may take years for that water to come on that dry land. How many times have y'all seen the ground so dry until it start cracking? How much water do you think it's gonna take to make that ground soft? It may take a long time. I'm just saying, am I giving y'all good examples? I hope I'm giving y'all good examples because I want everybody to be able to get it. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his doing. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rages and is confident. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. And a man of wicked devices is hated. So, what does scripture mean by that? He that is soon angry, right? You can't nothing be said to you at no point in no time without you raising a volume on your voice and you getting discombobulated in your attitude. And so when I see you coming, I'm like, oh Lord, not on you, Jesus. I just read that scripture. We hate to see the folk and the people coming. But am I going in the right direction? Because the Bible says the Lord draws them with loving kindness. Am I going in the right? See, this that narrow gate. This that narrow road. We got to walk circumspect, baby. I'm giving y'all these examples so that you can understand that straight gate. Because we can't take that broad way, or we could take the narrow way. That set forth, we standing right there in the road, and you could keep straight, you could go to the right or go to the left. But what direction is the direction you're supposed to be going in? Because you can alter some stuff. You can alter some stuff. You can alter some stuff so terrible, baby, until you look around, and when it dawned on you, you'd be like, oh man, that's all my fault. Hold on to this. But in you knowing that it's your fault, are you going to confess it? Are you going to take accountability for it? Are you going to acknowledge it? Because if you don't, you ain't headed in the right direction. Because the Bible said, confess your faults to one another. You see what I'm saying? This is narrow road, y'all. It ain't easy. Can I say it ain't easy? It ain't easy for Yvette. I don't know about nobody else. But the choices that I make, in making these choices, I got to make sure I'm making it the right way and not my right thoughts. Because that way ain't the right way. Don't y'all know the mind will deceive you? They say the eyes will play tricks on you. No, your mind. This will play tricks on you. That's why he said be renewed. And what? Your mind. He ain't say nothing about your thoughts. He said your mind be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Have this Christ, have this mind in you that I got in Christ Jesus. He ain't say nothing about our thoughts, because our thoughts are what? Wicked and evil. The Bible says that we conjure up all kind of stuff. Baby, we premeditate on that, them conjuring things. For real, for real. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Who is prudent? You are marked by wisdom or judiciousness. Marked by circumspection, having or showing good judgment and restraint, especially in conduct or speech. Yellow sheets of paper and red pens. We need to write down these things that causes us not to go up that narrow road. We want to choose the straight gate. We want to go up the straight path. It's going to be a lot of things and a lot of people, a lot of circumstances and experiences and in challenges that you're going to experience that's going to alter you or cause you to want to do another thing. Why? Because it's all about me and mine. I got to protect myself. Because if I don't make it happen, who will? I mean, these are all the thoughts that will cause us to be headed in the wrong direction. The Bible says that hell has enlarged itself. It enlarged itself because of our actions and our reactions. And because we just simply won't love the way that God designed us to love. We won't forgive the way that he said. But he said love covers a multitude of sins. So how can I forgive you if I do love them and I kept forgiving them? No, well, why did you keep holding it over his head then? Why you holding it over her head? Why you holding it? Why you keep making them a member? I mean, seriously. We got to think about how many times did you walk around? Because I have did this stuff. I'm telling y'all, I'm from experience. I said, you know what? They owe me an apology, but I ain't... They know they owe me a butt, but they not going to do it. Why? Because they not going to confess. They ain't going to take accountability for it. And they sure ain't going to have no remorse within their heart. How many times a person done told you to your doggone face that I knew what I was doing and I tried to do it and I wanted to hurt you because you hurted me? I ain't even hurt you. You hurt yourself because of your thoughts. And that caused you to act wicked. And that caused you to act evil. And that made you do this and made you do that. We always want to point the finger and wag the head and to how many confess your faults to one another. So when I walk up to you, well, I said this because you said that. That ain't confessing absolutely nothing. That's pointing the finger, wagging the head, and judging. That's what they're doing. When you confess, you walking up to them and not thinking or saying anything about what they did, but everything that you did. The Bible says, confess your faults to one another, then pray for one another that you may be healed. That means in reconciliation. For the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It does not mean that I'm more righteous than you, but it means that we need to be in the right state of mind that we can pray the right kind of way that we may be able to be reconciled with one another. Because without that right thinking or that right way or that right attitude, then how can we even pray right? You can't pray right. I'm going to ask you again. Are you headed in the right direction? Are we really headed in the right direction? We got to be headed in the right direction for our own soul's salvation, not for nobody else. We be so worried and concerned about other people's direction and what they doing. Oh, yeah, it always happened in the church. That's why people compete with one another or they get to looking at one another. Jesus told the disciple, he was ministering to him. He said, come and follow me. He had told him any and everything that was going to happen in his future. I just preached this a few weeks ago. Any and everything that was going to happen in his future, he told him. And then the Bible says that the disciple looked over, and this is what the book said. The book said he looked over and he saw his disciple following Jesus. And then so the other disciples say, Lord, you just sat up here and told me any and everything about me. What's going to happen to him? Jesus said, why are you looking at them? I'm telling you to follow me. We be so wrapped up and concerned about what any and everybody else doing. That's what causes us to get jealous and covetous and want to compete and be seen and showing off. I did this, want a pat on the back. Boy, go back. Let me sit up here and tell you something. The Bible says Jesus already justified us when he hung up on that cross. He gave each and every last one of us a unique gift. Your gift ain't no better than mine. It just compliment mine. And in the midst of it complimenting mine, it ain't mine anyway. It's God. And why you think that you competing up against me? You competing up against the spirit that's inside of me. And that spirit is Jesus. So now you're taking his glory. Are you headed in the right direction, baby? Because you're not fighting up against me. The spirit of God is what it does it for all of us. Everybody in here can prophesy. It does not mean that you prophesy better or you prophesy more. No. Because guess what? It's all God's word. So I'm going to try to outdo you. No. So now you trying to take his glory. He said, no man to get my glory. And then you wonder why he don't share his secrets and tell his mysteries. Because you trying to be like Lucifer. I got to kick you out too. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about the book. This is why we can't reason with one another. We got to keep our eyes on the prize. He said, keep your eyes on things that are above instead of things that are below. Because all this earthly stuff is corruptible. Do you mean that either? No, you can't take it with you. No, it will corrupt you. We take these scriptures and we misconstrue them and turn them around, but we don't want to apply them to our life. It will corrupt you. Any and everything that you see here, believe that you cannot have. God say you can't, because he said he gave us the keys to the kingdom, baby. He gave us dominion over some stuff. We walking around here thinking and believing that we cannot obtain. Why? Because you ain't headed in the right direction, Lord. What you mean he ain't headed in the right direction, Lord? Because they ain't headed in the right direction. You say you want this and you want that. He say, seek ye first me, my kingdom, my righteousness. And all else going to be added on to. You going to get all that other stuff. All you got to do is just seek his face. And his righteousness. What do you mean by that? Oh, I got to get this right. And I got. You can't get yourself right. I can't get myself right. You, me, him, her, they, we, none of us. We can't get yourself right. The Bible says God impute righteousness. You just got to make the right choices. You can't make yourself right, but just make the right choices. Because our choices is what can head us in the right direction or the right direction that we think is right. When in actuality, it's not. So we got to check ourselves then, right? And we got to go down that narrow. Now, I just gave y'all the square. How many times you rode up the street? And this street is so narrow. I can't get, so you creeping. I ain't finna be walking on the egg. You better walk on them eggshells and on your toes. You hear what I say? Don't let your middle toe be long like mine. You better ballerina around on that little toe and hope it don't break, cause you a big girl like me. Dude, I'm so serious, y'all. Play too. I'm so serious. And it's not easy, but it is doable. Why? Because he had me to play the song. It's a king inside of you. And what's that king? That spirit of God. If we allow that king that's inside of us, which is the spirit, to activate some things within us, then we can act the right way. We can think the right way. We'll treat people. How about we love the right way? Because everybody think, ooh, I love them so much. And let me tell y'all what happened to me. I love this man so much, I'm going to call him my kid's father. And that joker cheated on me. Baby, I about done cracked his head to the white meat. I told y'all this story before, I'm just going to make it short. And so after, you know, he went to work, came home, and I had to move. I clicked out the whole house. The move found me another place and everything, girl, and took the money he gave me the same he used for. So I'm sitting up in the house. He just called. I said, he answered the phone. He said, he cheated on me. And I just bought him a brand new car for his birthday. I said, oh, girl. And he had that girl in my car. I'm telling y'all, let me tell y'all about, was I headed in the right direction? Baby, I wasn't headed in the right direction, and even the guardians of the land couldn't stop me from being me. Did you hear what I say? Because, baby, I laugh at it now. But in the midst of it, me emptying out the house, and I'm going to tell y'all the story. Because y'all gotta give. So it's easy not to be headed in the right direction. Did y'all hear what I say? So this is what happened. He didn't come home tonight, and I'm like, I wonder where he was at. He didn't get off work and stuff. You know, and so when he came in, I was trying to be nice. I said, where you been at? That joker. Walked past me and said, don't question me, I'm grown. I just talked about this, right? I say, me too. I'm grown too. I said, because we are both grown and we're adults, we need to respect one another. Because we're in a relationship and you got a ring on my finger. You asked me to marry you. So I just need to know where you was at, bruh. So you know when I start saying, bruh,
okay, that's a ring.
I'm ghetto now. I'm in my ghetto mode.
Now you took
so he's standing in the mirror in the bathroom and turned on the shower. I say, okay. I walked over there and I grabbed the broom. And I stood there and I asked him again. I say, where was you at? I say, don't quit. Upside his head. Who you think you is, Yvette? You always are. And he grabbed me and put me up against the wall. And when he put me up against the wall, I said, please hit me. I said, because I want a reason to kill you, nigga. Please. He said, you know I ain't going to hit you, which he wasn't. You know I ain't going to hit you. I said, well, answer my question. I say that, wow, hit him again, he fell in the tub. And when he fell in the tub, he knocked out all the shower curtains and everything. And then you got me bleeding. I said, I'm going to ask you one more time. Where was you at? And when he said it, when he tried to say it, I didn't give him a chance because again, I was simple and I wasn't trying to hear. Okay? I swung it again. And he grabbed it. And when he grabbed it, I went down and in between, because I thought he was going to hit me. So I hit him between his legs and he went down. You can get a man down, baby. He went down. And then I told y'all that man I have had that beat on me, so I know how to hit and run. So when I tell you, my daughter got up, she was maybe about in the fifth or sixth grade. She was like, "Mama, what you doing to daddy?" I said, "No, go back in your room and you better not come back. I'll close the door." So she closed the door. And then he said, "I'm finna get ready to go. I'm glipping to die. I'm finna get ready to go. I mean," I said, "I don't care if you go, but you ain't finna go in that car. That's my car you bought me." I said, "But it's in my name." I said, "You ain't going nowhere." And so I ran out the door and I jumped in the car and I held on to the steering wheel. And I happened to look back and saw a girl, Jackie, and two jackets, a mama and daughter jacket. I said, Who stuff is this? Don't you worry about it. I said, "I done jumped out the car now." And when I jumped out the car, he said, "You better not hit me no more. I said, I ain't gonna hit you, this brick is." So I picked up the brick. And so he tried to run and jump in my car. I jumped in his car. And when he jumped in my car, I'm like, "You better not pull off with my car." And so he didn't try to pull off with my car. He just wanted me to get out of his car. So when I ran over there to his, to my car, he jumped over the passenger seat and went and jumped in his car and pulled off and thought he was getting away. Baby, I got in my car and I did 80. Boom! Ran behind the back of the car. He said, out the window, "You better stop hitting my car." I did it again. I put on my seatbelt because I know I'm fit to tell all that. All that. I ain't worried about. I got four covers of insurance. You don't. Baby. Going in the police was on the corner. Let me tell y'all about going in the right direction. Y'all know all this was wrong. He flagging the police down. "She keep in my car. She keep in my car." Boom. Hit it again. And then, you know, then, and I think it's still now, you know, they got that little bullhorn thing that they can talk out. "So, ma'am, you need to pull over and stop hitting his car and such, such, such." I speed up again. Boom. No. Then you hear me when I say the hearing will die. You're not trying to hear absolutely nothing. And so he still was driving. And the police gonna tell him like that was going to save him. That's what the police told him. "Drive to the police station." All right. "Drive to the," I say.
Boom. Let me help you get. I'm telling
y'all,
I kept running into the car.
And by the time he got ready to turn up in there, I speeded up real fast because I wanted to knock him all the way out of that car. I hit him again on the side of that car. And then the police said, "You're going to jail for assault." I say, I'm killing this nigga. I jumped out that car, baby. It was still, I'm telling you, I put the car in park. It was still running. I jumped out that car. And when I jumped out, he going to try to get jazzy in front of the police. Talking about this beat. Baby, by the time the police got over there and tried to grab me, I had to jump over them. I was all on that nigga head. You hear me? I was just bashing his head in. And with the, I was trying to hurt that man. You hear what I say? I was just bashing. The police grabbed me. They say, "You're going to jail. You're going to jail. You are not listening. You is resisting arrest. You are doing such and such and such and such and such and such." And so they picked me up. I was there, bit 115 pounds, good. Soaking wet. They picked me up and took me. I'm telling you, this was years ago. How old was I? I think I was 25. I'm 56 now. Listen to me. Baby, by the time I got up in there and they was holding me, because they could not even hold me, girl, because you know you can move and twerk because you're skinny. You scared? So, girl, they put me in some handcuffs. And why they put me in some handcuffs, he's standing there talking. I say, please uncover me. He got one more time to call me a baby. One more time. Please uncover me. They wouldn't uncover me. And then I was standing there, and it dawned on me that I'm finna go to jail. For real. And so I stood there, and the lady behind the thing said, "Ma'am, what's wrong?" I say, "How much is my bond?" She said, "Well, because you did so, you did this, your bond to be $150. I said, "Oh, I got that in my purse. Can I buy myself out?" She said, "No, you cannot." I said, "Well, can I have my phone call? Give me up." And so, in the midst of it, these are you heading in the direction, and your choices can alter and hurt somebody else. Did you hear? Y'all follow me? Y'all follow me? Okay. And so, in the midst of it, they running his name too, and he got warrants, and he can't get out because he owe like $1,500 in tickets and all this other kind of stuff. Plus, they got to give him a bond and all this. And so, what I decided to do, and even though I was able to get out, it altered somebody else's life because of the choice that I made. Are y'all getting the story? The moral of the story. I'm telling y'all this story because if you are not headed in the right direction, all because of what you see and what you hear, that causes you to be deaf to what is being said to you, and somebody trying to give you guidance, assistance, help, instructions, it can alter something, not just in your life, but somebody else's. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Because by me not listening, I can very well go to another person and say I'm venting, but in actuality, I'm trying to defame. I'm trying to make you look like you what you say you is. I want to make you look like what I know you ain't. Because I don't. Yeah. Jesus. You see what I'm saying? So are we really headed in the right direction? Because it don't take much. It don't take much. For if somebody disrespects you, am I the only one in here that it put my panties in a bun? If somebody turn, how many times we have become deaf to logic, and we know it's right, but we don't want to admit it, or we don't want to take accountability. This is us, y'all. So we have to be careful as we walking up that narrow road. You got to turn to the side. How many times you done tried to squeeze past somebody, and you be, "Excuse me, I don't mean to put my butt in your face, but your booty way up here. I don't mean to step on your toe. Please forgive me. And but your feet are size 13. You see what I'm saying? We have to be careful, you guys. Because if we holding all this stuff down inside of our heart, what is it? It's hard to let go. It's hard to get over. It's hard to get past. And we're going to make sure that they pay for what they pay for. And you know what? Even if I'm trying to change, I ain't trying to be like that. But as soon as I see you, I done took off the helmet, baby. Yeah, because he said stay armored on, right? I done took off that helmet and my mind going 100 miles an hour. And I drive fast too. Like Macy. You see what I'm saying? So we have to be careful. And are we headed in the right direction? It's not for the sake of others, it's for our own sake. Because the Bible says you got to give an account of your own action. You got to stand before the judgment seat for yourself. You can't go saying, "Well, I did this because of it." Because he's going to be deaf to that. You can't go trying to justify your foolishness. Because it's not so. So are we headed in the right direction? Yellow sheets of paper or red pens? I want y'all to start writing down these things that has caused you to hold on to some animosity or done had some stuff inside of your heart that is hard for you to get past. He had me to preach last week, forgiving the unforgivable, accepting the unacceptable. It's hard to accept the unacceptable. It's hard to forgive the unforgivable. But let me tell you something about this man I know. His name, Jesus. He can help you get past this stuff. He can help you get over that stuff, baby. And when you go to him and you're concerned about your relationship with him and you asking him to help you, he's going to allow you to face that thing. How I know? Because I had to pray for the very man that molested me in his face and hold his hands. It freed me from my own sin. It wasn't even all about him. Why I'm thinking that the Lord just want me to pray for him, for to heal him and for to help him. No, it was for me. Baby, I prayed for that man with everything and every morsel and every fiber in my being. And when I got through, the Lord said, leave quickly. And I was running up that hallway. And by the time I got to my car and I got in my car, I felt so weak at the knees. And I flopped down in the driver's seat. And I threw my head back. And it felt like something was lifted up off of me. And the Lord said, now you're free. Why was I free? Because I put me to the side and I did it with everything in me for him. But in actuality, I was doing it for me. I ain't understand it again. Because I thought I was headed in the right direction, praying and prophesying and preaching and being obedient to God. But God kept on telling me, you need to be healed. I got to heal you. I got to deliver you. I got to move some things out of your heart. I got to give you a heart of flesh, because that heart of stone, I can't work with that. I can't do nothing with that. I got to make sure you got the right kind of mind that you will know how to act and how to treat people with the right attitude. I got to make sure that, see, these are the things that concern us. And so in the midst of these things concerning us, God say he got to perfect it. And in order for us to perfect it, we got to keep going through some stuff. It is not here to break us, baby, but it's here to make us. It's here to help us to be able to face our own selves. Like the Bible says that David did all manner of foolishness, y'all. God had that man in leadership. In the midst of him doing all his stuff, do y'all know how he became the apple of God's eye? Because he kept it real. He was always true. He said, Lord, I ain't sinned against nobody and nobody but you. Even though he murdered that man, I sinned against you, Lord. How did I sin against you? Because you told me not to kill, but I killed. You, Lord, I ain't sinned against nobody but you, Lord. I was disobeying. The Lord sent a prophet to him. And the Lord, and if y'all read the book, the Bible says that David was a prophet. The Bible says that the Lord sent another prophet to him and gave him an example and told him, you know, I know this man that did such and such and such. So David was a king then. And David said, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and such and such, such. Tell me who the man is, the prophet say you. David always kept it real. He always confessed. He always took accountability. He always acknowledged some things. So I'm asking you guys right now, everybody know that thing that's going on inside of them from their past that they're still holding on to and they can't get over. Yes, it's hard to get over it. Ask God to heal you. Ask God to release you from that thing. That thing that was done to you and performed to you that was unforgivable, baby. Ask God to help you to forgive. Give you all the absolutions. Write that thing down. Write that name down of that person that betrayed you and you gave them all your trust. Come on, somebody. It's hard to get past some things, because when a woman open up to a person, baby, they giving they all, whether it's a friendship, whether it's a love ship, whether it's a wreck ship. It don't matter. What we need to do is ask God to help us on today, that we may be able to go up that narrow path without looking back in that rear view. Because if you look back in that rear view mirror, it may be real small, but that window in the back showing everything that's behind you. Stop looking behind you. Stop looking at that stuff. The past is is in the past. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because it don't exist anymore. You can't change it. You neither can you get a do-over. You can't. Leave it right there. Because if you get stuck in that past hurt, that past conversation, that past thing, you'll never get past the past. I want to go past the past. I don't want to get stuck like that and keep it. I don't want to be like Lot's wife. I don't want to be like the Israelites, and they never entered into the inheritance. The Bible says that the Lord told Moses, he said, you know what? Ain't not now one of them getting none that I promised them, but I'm going to give it to their children. Baby, I do not want just my children to get what God promised me. Did you hear what I say? Baby, I want my portion. And I want my portion like the Bible says in this life. I don't want to have to wait until I get to heaven to walk and experience that thing that he said that I can have. He gave me God doggone keys. Are you kidding me? So if he gave me the keys, I got to utilize the tools. What's the tool? That key. I got to put it in right, and I got to turn it the right way. Because if I turn it the other way, it's going to lock it back up. I ain't trying to delay nothing. I ain't trying to deny nothing. And lo and behold, I sure ain't fit a forfeit it. I want mine.
Yes, Lord.
I want all mine. Baby, I ain't come this far to be that. Lord, please help me not to be like Moses.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I don't want to look and can't touch it. Did you hear what I say? I don't want to look at it and can't enjoy it. Baby, I can't even walk on it. The Bible says he told Moses, go up to that mountain and look. That thing hurt me for Moses. Listen to this. The Lord had Moses to go up and see the goodness. I'm finna play that song.
I can see the goodness. I got it.
See the goodness and can't have part of it. Baby, I want it all. I ain't greedy and I sure share. I ain't got a problem with sharing. I give it to you. You hear what I say? Because it ain't taking nothing from me. Because I got my portion. I don't want to see it and I don't receive it. Did you hear what I say? Write down all this stuff, y'all. Write down this stuff that you even think is hindering you. That you even think that you still holding on to. I want you to release it. Because Moses waited 40 years. He was already an old man when they sent him. He was already 80 years old when they sent him. He had to wait 40 more years to get to the promise, and he could not even receive it. We done prayed for it, we done waited for it, we hoping for it, and we even believing for it. Baby, I want to receive it. Write down this stuff. Put it on yellow sheets of paper, red pen. Come put it on the altar. And when you put it on the altar, I want you to stay up here and just start praying for yourself. Because I want to get my portion while I live. I want my share right now. I'm not going to allow that thing that that person did to me or that person said to me that's going to put me in a place of bitterness and anger. Baby, I'm going to be free in my mind. See, it keeps me up at night. And if I keep thinking on that thing, I'm not going to be able to sleep. It even took me to a place where I couldn't even eat. I could not do what I was supposed to do in God. So right now, I'm releasing it all. I'm emptying it all out right now. I'm staking it all off because I don't want to hold on to that thing that's going to delay my portion. I don't want my portion, baby. I want my inheritance. See, a portion is just a little piece. I want my inheritance, baby. And I'm not going to squander it. So in the midst of him showing me blessing. I got to be able to be a good steward, because I don't want to squander it, baby. I don't want to be able to say, well, Lord, you did this and you took it away. He said, no, that's why I didn't give it all to you at one time, because I got to be able to trust you with a little before I can give it all to you. So give me mine. I want mine. I can see the goodness. I don't want to be blinded by what I'm going through and by what I'm experiencing that I cannot see afar. See, God is a God of succession. He is not a God of failure. He said he got a good thing going on for me. What is that? My thoughts, they good and they are not evil. I got to expect it in for you. Therefore, he got a future for me. I'm not going to get stuck. I'm not going to think that I can't have, because the Bible said what a man thinketh, so shall he be. So what I'm going to think, I'm going to think on things that are good. I'm going to think on things that are kind and of a good report. I'm going to think on what? My future. That's what I'm thinking of. I want to see the goodness, baby. I want that thing to come from me. I want to see the goodness come from me. I can see it right now. I may not be able to reach it yet, because he got to prepare my heart to receive it. And first, before I can receive it, I got to first believe it. And I believe God. If he said it, it is so. If he said it, it is so. There's absolutely nothing that God promised you that he will not perform. Because the word cannot return unto him void. And he said, everything that he says, simply yes and amen. So that settles it, and that's all. That's all, baby. If God said it, it is so. Hold on. Glory. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, everything you promised God, I'm in expectation. I may have to wait for it, but Lord, I'm not going to be anxious for nothing, because I know it's a time and a season and a purpose for everything. And I may not understand, God, why you got me waiting. I may not be able to see the purpose, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you have allowed me to walk into. But what I do know is that you got my best interest at heart. And I believe what you say, God. I know you're able to do that thing, God. So I'm not going to think that you can't. I know that you will do that thing, God. Because you already promised it to me. I know, God, that you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all I can ask, think, or even imagine, God. I know, God, that you are deep, oh, not literal, oh, son, and I trust you, God. I trust you with me, God, and I'm looking for your goodness. Hey! I'm looking for your goodness. I want to go in the right direction. Help us to go in the right direction, Lord. We don't want to keep going backwards. We don't want to go side to side. Oh, God, no. But we want to go forward and move forward in you, God. But we need your help. We confessing that we need you to help us on today, God. Remove any and every wicked and evil thought that we have in our mind towards any and everybody that offended us. Any and everybody, Father God, that disrespected us. Help us to help the unadiokosia. Help us to help the adiokoshana. Oh, God, help us to forgive the unforgivable. Accept the unacceptable. Move that thing, Father God. He got me the lokosana. That is causing us, Father God, to be stuck. That is causing us, Father God, to be in between and in between. We don't want to be wayward. We don't want to wear no chameleon suit. But we want to be real. We want to be true. Oh God, we need you. We need you on today. Give us a heart of absolutions. Give us a heart of forgiveness. Give us a heart of love, God. Because we don't know how to love. We think we know. know how to love. We don't know how to love. We need you, God. We need you, Lord. We want you, God. We desire you, Lord. Help God. We want to see the goodness. We want to see the goodness. We want to see the goodness. Like in loco shana. We come in mamma in loco si. We come in loco shana. We crying out to you, God. We don't put those petitions on the altar. We're emptying ourselves out and we shaking off some things. We're releasing some things on today because you know what we done went through. You know what we're going through. You know, Father God, that we can't get through it. We need your help, Jesus. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. We don't want to take this stuff back with us, God. We want to leave it right there at your feet because we know that if it's in your presence, Father, that it will not consume us. Let us not be so wrapped up with the cares of this world and this life that we cannot see straight, that we cannot live right, that we cannot talk right. Help us on today, God, not to alter the direction that you want us to go in, God. Help us on today, God, that we will stand firm, planted with solidity, and we won't be so easily moved, and we won't be so easily shaken. Help us on today, God, that we will sincerely forgive one another, that we will pray for one another, that we will keep one another, that we will hold one another. Help us on today, God, that your will and your purpose be done, that your plan be declared. Help us on today, God. Oh, Baba, and remove any distractions. Remove any lost hope. Remove any fears. Remove any tears. Remove any and everything, God, that's causing us to be barren and destitute. Oh, God, we need you on today to water our land, God, that we won't be in a dry place. We need you on today that we will not, Father God, walk around all cracked up and broken. Put us back together, Lord. Hey! Put us back together, God. Hiya, baba, baba, son, nene, loco, son. Put us back together, Lord. That your will and your purpose and your plan be performed in our lives. Oh, mama, nene, loco, son, nene, la casilla. Put us back together, Lord, that your declaration will be declared in our lives, Lord. We're embracing you, God. We're seeking you, Jesus. We want to live right. We want to treat one another right. We want to love one another right. Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm standing in the gap, God, for everybody in your coast, every nation, every tongue, every nationality, every religion, every culture, for the government, for Israel, Jerusalem, and any and everybody that's attached to us, Lord. I'm standing in the gap for our children, God, our grandchildren, husbands, wives, now and to come. Oh, God. Elevate your people. Illuminate your people, God, that they may come into the richness of your glory and walk in the fullness therein. Oh, God, situate your people. Stabilize your people. Oh, mama, little kosi. Hiya, baba, shun, little kosi. Move some things, Jesus. Move them stumbling blocks. Them hindrances. That stuff that causes to be masturbated and wicked and evil actions. Move these things, God. Hiya, baba, son, little kosana. Allow your peace to rest on your people, God. Allow your word to become life in their lives. Let your promises become an actuality that they may know without a shadow of a doubt you are real, God. Heal, deliver, and set your people free from the shackles and the bondage in their mind and their hearts. Oh, God. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Oh, God, as they crown to you, Lord, individually. Oh, my mind, it will go see. Every hidden tear. Lift up the hidden tears, Lord. When your people in there crying in the wee hours of the night, turn them tears into laughter. Restore the joy. Restore the joy, Lord. Oh God. Oh God. I'm touching and agreeing with everybody on the altar. Everybody in the pews, Lord. I'm touching and agreeing. Hiya loco sanne de la casilla. Oh God. Hiya de loco si. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
things on the day. That thing that caused you to think that you were stuck. He said it, Okoshana. Settle that thing. That thing you ain't got no control over. That thing that got you in that place. Yeah, y'all going in the right direction, man. I'm telling y'all, I believe God. He said he's going to bring this stuff into actuality.
Yes,
that we
Lord.
Can touch it.
Yes, Lord.
That we can feel it.
Yes,
we
Lord.
Can see it. Baby, he done made all of us some promises.
Yes, Lord.
That I can see it. Why? Because I believe it.
Yes.
And I believe God.
And I trust him.
You hear me? Just say real loud, I trust you, Lord, with me.
I trust you, Lord, with me.
See, because he got a thought that is good and not evil. He got, that's what he got. We waiting patiently. We holding on to the promises. Don't let it go. Don't get impatient and try to make it happen yourself. You just watch God. You watch God. You came and gave it to him. When you gave it to him, you was releasing some angels and dispatching a change to come. You'll see. You think I'm playing, don't you? I stand on God's word. I stand on God. He said, be it unto you according to what you believe. And I know you believe it. I know you believe it. I know you've been, I don't care how long you've been in it. It don't matter how much you hurt. You done cried and prayed. You done prayed and cried. You done waited on them. You done tried to. And now you just standing there like, okay, Lord. All you got to do is say, you know what? I see it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. I believe it.
Yes.
I believe in Yokosia. In the next 30 days, says God. Y'all gonna see the goodness. In the next 30 days, you gonna see the goodness. It can go from something little to something big. It don't matter what it is, but you gonna know it's God, and you gonna remember he said in the next 30 days you gonna see his goodness. Baby, it could just simply be healing. It could be restoration and reconciliation. It could be an overflow. Oh, cause it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. That overflow. All the stuff you've been waiting on. The Bible say, what you sow, that shall you eat. What make you think that it ain't gonna come back around? What make you think that? Because you done prayed for it and you've been waiting on it. But all you got to do now is believe it and just look at his goodness. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it, and that's all, y'all. You know how the folks when you say that that's all, folks. That's it, and that's all. I see the goodness, y'all. I see it, not just for me, but for you. I see it. Just say, Lord, prepare my heart to accept it. Come on. Lord, prepare my heart to accept it that I may receive it. Ha. And that's it. I see it, I see it, I see it, I see it. I want to anoint you a lady's feet. Can I anoint you ladies' feet? Because the Lord says that he finna take us all in the right direction. He gonna take us all in the right direction. Cause it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. I see the goodness. I see the goodness. Baby, I'm in expectation. I'm in expectation. Cause it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. I believe it. I believe it. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. It's coming. receive you with us.
Yes.
Say, I used to take three shots. Every time you go back to the doctor, they're going to have to reissue your medicine. If they don't, they're going to kill you. They're going to overdose you.
I'm going to do it twice.
You ain't seen me yet.
Oh,
baby, you got to run from the shop to a hill. You got to go for medicine.
Oh,
my God. Touch each and every individual here on this altar today. Your word have went forward, God.
Yes, Lord.
And we know that you are a God of tangibility.
Yes,
Lord, we stand on your word today. And we trust you with every morsel and every fiber in our being. And if by chance it sounds too good to be true to your people, help them in their unbelief. That they may simply see the goodness of your power. I'm asking you to do it right now. We seal it, God, with your blood. That's that assurance. We activate it with that now faith. That's that reality.
Yes.
Prepare our hearts to receive it, God.
Yes.
In your son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, y'all.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let's give God a hand. listening. For letting us know that we're precious to you.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, God, for your presence. Thank you, God, for your presence.
Yes.
See, he presents his presence by being around us. And then he releases his presence with the TS that we may know he is real. Thank you for presenting your presence and giving us presents.
Yes,
maybe I should say it like that.
Because
it's a presence to be healed, baby. It's a presence to see the goodness. Thank you for the renewing in our body, oh God, in our minds. Come on, touch your mind. Touch your head. Say, Lord, thank you for renewing my mind. Thank you for renewing my mind. Jesus. Oh God, we thank you. Oh, little Hokosi. Oh, Mama, little Hokosi. Rain down on your people, God, even that Hokoshana. That they may know that Hokosi. He said, I'm going before you. He going before you.
Thank you, Lord.
You know what's so awesome about God?
Yes.
That he already figured it out, so we ain't got to.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. You are right, Lord. Oh, thank you for your blessing.
He already figured it out, so we ain't got to.
Thank you, Lord.
All we got to do is make sure we headed in the right direction.
Yes, Lord.
That's it. That's
yes,
it.
Lord.
That's it.
Yes, Lord. Oh.
Y'all may think I'm a monkey if I start swinging from the baby. Huh, I feel that thing.
Yes.
I am so serious. I thank you, Lord, for figuring it out so we ain't got to. Jesus. I want to anoint everybody hands in here. That God may prosper you in everything that you touch.
Yes, Lord.
You already headed in the right direction.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah. But everything that you touch.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. He wants to bless us. Yes, Lord. Stop saying what you ain't got.
And you won't know you ain't. You
in between blessings. Okay? In between blessings.
And you just wait and you believe. That's it, and that's all.
That's it, and that's all. That's it. Ain't no purpose.
God's will.
Because God is rich, baby, and I am too. So
yeah, baby.
Ain't you?
so much. We're going to get ready to get our tithes and our offering if anybody needs